As we move closer to the National Day of Prayer, what difference does it make in your life? And more importantly, do you know the difference it can make in our community? Next on Table Talk, Covenants Podcast. Hey, I'm Kyle Gatlin, pastor at Covenant. I am here with my neighbor from across the street, Pastor Mark Benson.
Hey, hey.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing great, man. What a joy it is to be here. And, you know, we should build a bridge across the street so we can just keep coming back and forth to each other's churches. That's the way I think about it.
If we did that, actually, our members would probably use that just to get back and forth to church rather than having to wait to turn left or right, depending which way you're coming. Because at different times on Sundays and Wednesdays, it takes about 10 minutes to cross over.
Yeah, exactly. For ours, too.
So that would be nice, but I'm not sure the state would actually do that.
I'm not sure.
Hey, so Mark, I want to go back. When did you move to Dothan?
Okay, so we got here around 2016. It was near the end of 2016, and had the opportunity really to connect from many of those ministry and church and pastors' connections through that move and the timing because of Will Graham coming into town at that time. So that was one of the things that made that timing so special for us.
So how many years is that now?
Oh, gosh. 2016. Yeah, it's coming on seven years.
Yeah, yeah. And probably the thing that stands out to me, and this isn't going way far back, obviously, to 2016, but it's going back to the diagnosis of our pastor when he was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
You literally were one of the first people from the community, not our church community, our covenant community, but you were one of the first people from our community that literally reached out. But not only that, man, you were encouraging your church to pray for us and pray for our pastor, and yeah. I'll never forget that.
Wow!
So I appreciate you doing that, and you've done that since you came into this area. I remember you. One of the first things, I think, if I remember this right, Mark, one of the first things that you said when you started preaching, you lifted our church up.
Yeah,
you are praying for our church with your congregation, right?
Yeah.
So you have, when you came in, you never saw other churches as anything but brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's been one glaring thing that has caught my eye, caught my ear, and what I've noticed about you. And I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And that leads into actually our topic for today.
Yeah.
Because that is your heart for our community.
It really
so
is.
Tell us what's coming up at your church, April 30th.
Yes. So we've got Pray Dothan and the opportunity for us to once again come together. And I say once again because this would be one of the first times a church would be the host of a Pray Dothan event, because typically Pray Dothan has been at the Civic Center 2016, and then last year in September 2022, we did this. But there was an announcement that day at the Civic Center that churches would be able to host one of the fifth Sunday events, and we get to be one of the first ones out of the gate. So it's an honor to do that. And let me quickly reflect back on what you just said. First of all, I appreciate that you shared that, but also I dearly loved Hayes, and I also love and appreciate you and what God's doing in your life and how he's using you to minister even beyond the Covenant family to those in our city. And so I just want to say thank you for that. It's an honor and a joy to pray for you guys because of the partnership we feel as brothers in Christ. So this will just be one more in the many opportunities we get to partner together to see our community changed and see transformation.
Yeah, so, and obviously as a host for Pray Dothan, again, April 30th.
Yes,
five o'clock, right?
5 p.m., yeah, doors open at 4:30.
In the whole deal, I always repeat everything about every 2 minutes or
that's
something
right.
like that.
That's
so
right.
So everybody won't forget it.
Yeah.
That's a radio thing, I think. But anyway.
I think so.
So anyway, April 30th at 5 p.m. at First Assembly of God. Y'all actually just go by what? First Dothan?
Dothan First.
Can't remember which one's which.
Uh-huh.
So Dothan First. Actually, your website is Dothan First, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Dothan First or 1st.org. Yeah.
And And so you're obviously, as a host, you're into the planning for this. And of course, we all know that because you're hosting this, this is going to be totally different than anything we've ever seen before, right?
Well, no, actually, right? No. And that's what I wanted to verify, because I realized that every church has a personality. And some people have a, if they don't know the church or haven't been in the church for a service, they might not know what to expect. They may think it represents the personality of the church. And I would say that whatever misperceptions that people might have or misconceptions, they can lay them at the door, because our heart really in this event is to be a host church for a citywide event. And to us, then we're not necessarily representing our personality. We're just representing the Father that we all share, our Heavenly Father. And so we've got pastors from all different denominations and different backgrounds that will be praying. And you will be one of those who's humbly accepted that opportunity as well. So you'll be leading us just like many of the other pastors in our community.
So I'm just curious, because you brought up, obviously, different styles of worship. All of us have different. We got people in our community that all they want is piano, or sure, all they want is organ, or nothing at all, right?
Yeah.
All a cappella. So is there going to be any type of music with this at all?
Yes. So there will be some music, and it will be primarily worship choruses that many would be familiar with. But we're going to be spending the majority of our time in prayer, because that's really the heartbeat behind what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and I've watched some of your worship services and seen bits and pieces on different things, and sound like the same band we got, man. So
yeah. we've been a part of your ministries during different seasons, especially when it comes to Celebrate Recovery and others, and so we've got to hear the quality of your worship ministry, and beyond the quality of the anointing and what God's using them to do. So yeah, we have a lot of shared commitment and connection to just worshiping the King and using some of the both traditional and contemporary ways of worship.
Yeah. Hey, and did I hear right, you and I were talking earlier today, the goal was for this about four times a year, correct? That was
correct.
The goal.
Yeah, now that is the goal. And I know Dr. Charles Lewis over at Dothan Community Church, who really has spearheaded a lot of prayer and the connection of other churches in our community to come together for prayer. He would be the one that is kind of helping to lead the charge there. We just happen to be one of the first churches out of the gate to be able to host this.
Yeah. So the whole goal, I guess, on April 30th at 5 o'clock.
Yes. Thank you very much.
So at some point, maybe during that night, they may be able to announce the next one, which I think by calendar should be the last Sunday of July.
Correct.
So maybe we might find a little more information about that, or he's waiting for me to stand up and say, I'll host it.
That may be very well the case.
Easy to find. Everybody comes
right
on the 30th of April, just
right across the street.
Yeah. So, which I don't think we have anything going that Sunday, by the way.
Okay. All right. Hey, there's the plug right there.
So we can do that. But the one I went to the the one down at the Civic Center in September. It was a Wednesday night, so I had to actually got there a little bit later, I think, because I had stuff here I had to do. But that was just a wonderful, just to see the different type of people, all coming together,
great,
with one goal, and that was simply to pray.
Yeah,
and I, you know, you and I know, and we alluded to it in our conversation earlier a while ago, that there's a whole lot of different type of people worshiping and the way they do church and everything like that. But my gosh, everybody, I think, I haven't been to every church in our community, but I'm almost sure everybody prays.
Yeah, that's right. And if you think about the fact that, you know, if you call him Father and I call him Father, then we're brothers. So when we talk about talking to the same God who loves us deeply, at some point in the journey, the recognition that coming together only multiplies the effect. Because, and I don't know if you're like this, but when my kids were little, you know, when one of my kids would come to me and ask, like the ice cream man's coming by, hey, daddy, can we have some ice cream? And then another child would come behind them and a third child, because we got three, would come behind them. For some reason, it multiplied the effect. I don't know why that was, but obviously joking aside, in this case, we're talking about children of God who love the Lord with all their heart, who desire to corporately come together and believe God for community transformation. It's not like we're asking God for something that he doesn't want to give us. And so I really believe that the culmination of that could be not just community transformation, but it always begins with personal transformation, where individually we can have a moment with the Lord on Sunday, April 30th at 5 p.m. to come together and see God do something significant in our city and personally in our lives.
And obviously, I don't want to get into a big going down a rabbit hole, but this is pretty significant for people to think about, because the way that I operate individually is, I believe that I'm not praying just to check off a list. Mm-hmm. I'm not praying just to tell somebody I prayed for them so they'll feel better. Hey, the preacher prayed for me.
Right.
I believe scripture backs this up, experience backs this up, tradition backs this up, that God is moved when people pray.
Yes.
I mean, otherwise, I think Jesus prayed.
Matter of fact, he pulled away from the crowds and he got alone with his Heavenly Father. Yeah. And there's something that if Jesus, the Savior of the world, had to take the time and felt it not only necessary, but would prioritize it, how much more so do we need it and should we do it when it comes to our relationship to God? I've always said you can't have a relationship with somebody you don't talk to. And then the multiplied effect where two or more are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst. And so, I believe that this could very well be not just a positive thing or a beneficial thing. I think this could be a powerful thing. And we've seen the effects at one of the universities that you're very well familiar with, as we've seen the revival that took place when students just decided, we want to pray. We want to talk to God.
And I think that, didn't that bleed over into an Assembly of God's community somewhere?
It did, it has spread throughout the United States and across the globe, because people decided they would prioritize prayer. And interestingly, and I want to commend you, I know you weren't the decision maker on this, but commend the college for this. It didn't seem to be filled with celebrity worship leaders and celebrity guest speakers, if you will, that drove that. As a matter of fact, they avoided it. They avoided all the media frenzy that could have.
They wouldn't allow them. And
that's
then,
right.
Then they ask your Louis Giglios and people, don't post anything online.
Right. You know, so, right. Yeah. And it's not that they were not able to attend or discouraged, but rather they wanted to make the focus Christ and prayer. And that's exactly what happened. And that's what made it so special and so different, maybe, from other things that we've seen through the years. So, again, commending, one of your colleges, one of your universities, for doing what they did and leading the way, and we've all been affected by it.
Yeah, it's actually my wife's alma mater.
Yes.
She actually graduated from Asbury University.
Yeah.
I was across the street, but she actually graduated
from there. She went with the better of the two. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
I better be careful.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Auburn and Alabama. You just don't talk about it.
We share stuff, even though we were across the street, because one's grad school and the other one was not. And that actually, at that time, that was Asbury College. They didn't email for master's level classes across the street. But anyway, they do now. They're a university. But, back then, it was, it was good relationships. It was not, mm-hmm. not obviously not competing or anything. And I was not the first seminarian to marry a Asbury College student, by the way. It was sort of a dating pool for some of the seminarians.
I was going to say, did your wife come out with an MRS degree? Is that what that was?
Actually, she was... I won't get into that story. Yeah, I'll go ahead and get that story. So my first year of seminary, I was living on campus in Willmore, or as we like to call it, Willless. It's not very big.
Yeah.
And I was about ready to be done. Mm-hmm. And it just had some issues with the dorm I was living in. My roommate was great. He's from Indiana. And I loved that, but just wasn't feeling it, right?
Yeah.
Went to a job posting. 50 miles north of the campus was an opening for basically assistant pastor with youth responsibilities and older adult ministries. And I was hired, really hired right at the end of my first semester. So I moved off campus literally in December.
Wow.
My wife was on the interview team. She was a senior in high school.
Oh.
Right? So she's 5 years younger than me. She was a senior in high school at the time. And then when she started college a year later, my second year in seminary, her first year in college, that's when we started dating, actually.
So she was interviewing for a different position at that point.
So I want to say she might have actually said something to one of her classmates at the time about that. But anyway,
That's great. I love it.
So anyway.
I love the stories that, you know, you hear of people get together and you go, match made in heaven. Maybe so.
Or will less. But best thing was for me, a lot of folks love going to school full time and saturated on that seminary experience. I love the practical experience. Mm-hmm. I was literally in a church for one semester. I was doing nothing but being a student.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I was practically in a church setting. I was on staff, had a great senior pastor at the time, and learned a lot. And really that saved me. I'm not much of a student. I passed.
Yeah.
I didn't fail anything.
Right.
But I wasn't going to be up there wearing the robes and
ecclesiastical robes.
I wasn't going to wear all that. Uh-huh.
But there's something, though, about practical ministry that sometimes students miss out on if they're not really intentional or the school isn't intentional. And let's face it. I mean, you and I have been in ministry for a while now. The book knowledge that we gained, which I'm grateful for, did not properly prepare me for all that I would face as a pastor. But the practical experience that I received being a youth leader under a youth pastor or along the way learning from those who were godly men and women who taught me the ways to do ministry, man, that was profound in my life and made a huge difference in what I do today versus what I would do if I just had the book knowledge but no practical application. So I'm grateful for both, you know.
Yeah, I want to say, of course, I had that time, I think it was about when I had 90 hours to get a master's degree when I went through, but it was sometime in the mid-90s. I graduated in 1992, by the mm-hmm. way. So I graduated in 1992, and I think within 1 or 2 years, I had my first little church. I found a book, probably by Zondervan at the time, called What They Didn't Teach You in Seminary. I learned more from that book than I did the 5 years of seminary.
That's right.
Seriously.
It is.
Seriously.
It's true. So. There's too many things about ministry life that probably the average person wouldn't know about what we do. Let me just set the record straight. We work all the time. Let me just make that abundantly clear for those who might think we just sit around and do, you know, the totality of ministry is 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. That is a very small window into what we do in any given week. Yeah.
No, you preach longer than 30 minutes.
Well, maybe 35. Let's give it 35.
But one of the things, I'm going to bring this full circle finally.
Very good on.
Because you opened it up.
All right.
One of the things that we must do as pastors, seriously, to make it through each day is two things. We have to pray and we rely on the prayers of our people.
That's right.
So, so many people, just like you had were telling us early on after Hayes's diagnosis, so many people were just, you know, telling us, and I know they were being sincere when they said, I've been praying for you.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people can say that. I'm praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I try to encourage people. So why don't you just pray for them now rather than tell them? Anyway.
Right.
But I know all those people that have said something to me through text messages and stuff. I know they did. I know mm-hmm. they prayed for this church. They prayed for Hayes. They prayed for the leadership of this church during the transition time and then during all of our stuff that we've had this last year since Hayes died. I know they prayed.
Yes.
And they prayed for me. And so that's just a small sampling of what what we're encouraging our community to do.
Yeah,
right.
On almost a
bigger scale.
Sure.
Because our community is bigger than any one church.
Yeah.
And so that's what we want to encourage people to join us on.
That's right.
What day is that? What day is that again?
It was Sunday, I believe. Yes. Sunday, April 30th. Sunday. When you said that, it really, it's the most meaningful thing that I think we could collectively do is do what Jesus did, you know, especially at the beginning of the Passion Week. You see how passionate he was. One of the first things you see is that he not only turned over the temple tables, it wasn't just for the purpose of showcasing his power, it was actually to remind people, my house will be called a house of prayer. And I don't think his house is significantly enough represented by one church, one house. His house is much bigger than one church could hold. His house is the kingdom of God. And if we, as the bride of Christ or the body of Christ, however you want to use symbolically or the analogy, we're called by him, challenged by him, and blessed to talk to our Creator, to be able to get together for the purpose of seeing God do something significant. I can't think of a better thing that we could do, and we're following in Christ's command when we do it, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, and in that story of him turning the tables over, and I can't remember what day I brought this out in the last, everything runs together.
It does around Easter time, yeah.
Just sort of runs together, but this is nothing I thought of. It's something that I read that made the observation that all those tables were in the court of the Gentiles. In other words, the only place a Gentile could worship was those places.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he was more upset that the non-Jewish person wasn't able to pray.
Yeah, couldn't get to God.
So that was the, you know, the meaning and the symbolic. I know we know it's a little bit different, but for when you brought that up, I was thinking that that's what we want to do is come into church. We want to take away on this Pray Dothan, April 30th, 5 o'clock.
Yes, thank
so,
you.
So we want to take away any distractions from denominationalism,
right?
Any denomination, any observations or whatever the word is, distractions of being at a church we're not familiar with. We want to strip all that away and say, we want to take all those distractions away, and we come together as a nation and as a community, technically, at this point.
Sure.
So that's what we want to do at this time.
And how much could we, in terms of barriers, could we set up to keep ourselves divided rather than setting down the barriers to recognize this is something we absolutely can agree upon, the significance of prayer, and not just in our community, but listen, our nation desperately needs prayer. You don't have to hardly look at the news for a few minutes without, or pick up social media without realizing the significant need that our world has, and specifically our nation has.
Yeah, just 2.5 hours up the road,
yes,
we had that wonderful, horrible thing that happened.
Yeah,
And we need to pray for things not like that.
That's right.
for us, but pray more for God to work in my life, through my life, and through our churches to be a beacon of hope.
Yeah,
for him and for the love and grace that he has for all of us, of all shapes and sizes. And that's who we invite to be a part of this.
Amen.
And what's that date again? I can't remember.
I believe it is Sunday, April 30th at 5 p.m., but the doors will open at 4:30.
Great. So you're going to have donuts and coffee? No, I'm just kidding.
Unfortunately, yeah. We may have some waters. I'm not sure.
Yeah. We have a water fountain, right?
We sure do. That's right.
All right. So First Assembly of God, that is right across the street from our church, from Covenant Methodist Church, April 30th, 5 o'clock. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us, and God bless you. And we'll probably do this again sometime.
I look forward to it.
You're right across the street.
That's right. It's pretty easy for me.
Just walk right over.
It's a joy.
Actually, you will not walk right over. I've seen your car. You're going to drive it. You're going to drive it every chance you get. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. All right. Thanks a lot. Y'all have a great week. See you Sunday, April 30th, 5 o'clock.